And continuing in the Matthew, we're in the 20th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Listen to the words of the Lord. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon again, and at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' They replied, 'Because no one hired us.' The landowner told them, 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.' That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired last came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, 'These people worked only 1 hour, but yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat.' He answered one of them, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. It is against the law for me to do what I want with my money. Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who were last now will be first, and then those who are first will be last." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for these saints in New Smyrna. Thank you for their heart for loving and serving you. Thank you that you love us more than anything else in the world, that we can gather here and hear your word, be instructed by it, and inspired to go out into the world and share it with others. Pour your spirit upon everything that is said and done today, and may everything we do be for your glory, both this day and all the days that come. Amen. Hired. How many of you have been sitting by a telephone and waiting for a call and knowing that when you saw that number come up on the phone that it was going to be somebody and they were either going to say, "You're hired," or "You're not"? We've all been down that road, right? I remember going down that road, you know, two some odd years ago, waiting for the phone to ring to hear whether or not I would be coming here as an interim or not. I remember where I got that call. You want to, you know, my wife can attest to this. Our kids were swimming at the Titusville YMCA. I got a phone call. I answered it, and I was heard, "Hey, we want you to come here." It was Ann on the phone. So I went back and sat down next to my wife, and she says, "What was that call about?" And I said, "Well, New Smyrna wants me." And I didn't say anything else. We got in the car to go home, and she kind of looked at me. She said, "So, are we going to talk about this?" Because, you see, I was kind of, you know, one day yes, one day no. One day I thought this was going to be great. One day I didn't thought I was going to get the Dear John letter in the mail. Trust me, I've got them from churches. So I know what they look like. But to get that call that says you're hired, and then the typical thing came after that. Well, what do I do now? But I knew that it wasn't for me to kind of second guess. It was saying, okay, God has opened the door and I'm going to start walking down that road. I almost felt like I'd already been here a long time. You know, having worshiped with you already, I kind of figured that I already knew what I was getting myself into. I'd already seen the office. I'd already met the staff. You know, kind of knew all the stuff that was going on. This was just kind of the last bit of protocol that needed to be done. But I remember my first days here going, wow, what do I do now? What you know, kind of what have I got myself into? And it's very similar, you know, this scripture passage about manna in the wilderness. The word manna in Hebrew stands for what is it? It's kind of like their version of meh. Because, you know, it's like, manna, what is this? What is this thing? And that's kind of what I was looking at. You know, I kind of, to draw an example, manna had fallen from heaven. I had gotten something that I wanted to do. I really felt called to come here. That had happened, and I'm sitting there looking at this field full of manna and going, what is it? What do I do? Where do I go? And then it was the whole journey, you know. It wasn't 40 years, but, you know, it sure did seem like 40 years at times. I will say that the journey that has gone, you know, reading this passage about the Israelites in the wilderness, boy, can I relate. Can I relate to this passage of starting out on a journey, leaving something that you know, journeying through a wilderness, trying to get to the place where you know that you should be, and going through all the trials and tribulations. Trust me, there were times when God and I had a chat. He laughed because he's like, you can tell me your plans, but that's okay. I would almost say that if he would have spoken, the words I would have heard probably would have been, bless your heart. You know, I can feel like Moses and Aaron, but I never saw it as a burden. I never wanted to stand in front of you and say, your complaints are not against me, they're against against the Lord. But I could see how it was to lead a people through the wilderness, to walk with you through the time of losing a pastor and getting to the place to where you can receive the next one, going through the ups and downs of the congregation. I will tell you that everything they teach us in seminary that can happen in the life in one's ministry life over the course of a career has happened to me in 2.5 years here in New Smyrna Beach. But I don't think that that's unique. I don't think that that's unique. I think that is common across all congregations. I have been blessed to have journeyed with you in those times when you're thanking God for all of the awesomeness and wonders that He has done. When you come, you know, pass me in on the campus and say, you know, you prayed for me on Sunday and I just got back from the doctors and the results say no. Then there have been times when you've called me on the phone and we've talked through some very difficult times where I've gone to minister to people only to hear a couple of days later that God has called them home. To journey through the highs of highs and the lows of lows and everything in between and going, okay, God, I know what you're doing here is awesome. And I know when I wake up in the morning, there will be manna on the ground for me to sustain me through the day, and there will be meat in the evening. Imagine if we came to the gospel like that. Imagine if every morning when we woke up, we didn't sit there and go, boy, I really wish the PNC would get somebody in that pulpit. You woke up in the morning and you say, wow, the sun is out, and I know when I leave my tent, there will be food all around. So much so that I can gather up as much as I want. I can eat till my heart's delight. And then I'll count those calories and I'll head down to the gym and I'll get on the treadmill and realize that it takes about 2 hours to walk off 1,000 calories. And then in the evening when you go to bed, knowing that when you go and you get ready to lay down, that God will provide for you again. That God will always provide for you during the day. You do not have to worry about God's provisions. I wonder if we could look at that. Standing here today knowing that you are about to go through a short time, and I'm going to give credit to the PNC. I think it's going to be a short time. I don't think it's going to be that long, but you're going to go through a time where I will not be here. There will be others in my place. And then you'll get the word that somebody is coming and this is the one that's going to stay. And oh, what joy. And then you'll have to break somebody else in and get them used to all the things that are going on. But I want you to look at this passage and let's start with point number one that I want to make this morning. And that is, regardless of what you are facing tomorrow, God will provide for you when you wake up and when you go to bed. You do not have to worry for anything. Amen. I could leave it right there, but I'm not going to, because I think there's more to this story. Because we know the story of manna. We know the story of the manna and the doves. Because we know that the Israelites were encouraged when they went out there. It was like, take only what you need for today. Do not take what you need for tomorrow. Because if you take what you need for tomorrow, it will spoil when you wake up. We all agree on that, right? I don't need to go back and read the verses in the Bible. So we're all on that same page there. So they were told, don't take more than you need, but take what you need and eat it. There's a very beautiful lesson in how we approach life in the church. Because you see, God will provide us everything that we need. And when we get what God provides us, we should not be in the mindset of trying to hoard it for tomorrow. We should be geared toward using it today. Think about this for a second. God woke you up, gave you another day, wants you to go out and share this good news with other people. And he doesn't say, well, I want you to save up today for tomorrow. Think about that. It's about when God provides us with something that we weren't expecting. How many of you have been in that situation? I've been in that. You go to the mailbox and you get that letter, and there's either a check in there that you weren't expecting, or a gift card or something like that. And you say, well, you know, I'm going to sock this away for a rainy day, but maybe God's telling you, because I think sometimes he does. It's like, you need to be doing this today. You need to be using this today. You got this blessing not so that you could put it in your back pocket and sit on it for a couple of months. You got this blessing today because there is work to be done today. You know, I do believe that when God wakes us up in the morning, he's like, I have got something for you to do, and you need to get out there and do it. And this story about the manna should show us something in how we deal with our lives in the church. Because a lot of times we like to try and hang on to what we harvested yesterday, not realizing that it has spoiled, and we need to go out and harvest more today because that is what's fresh and what's new. Think about that for a second. Think about that. We want to hold on to things that we harvested yesterday because we don't want to let it go. But God is telling us that will spoil, and you need to go back out there and harvest more because that is what's fresh and new and is what will sustain you. Go out there and get to work. How often have we seen that happen? I'm not going to go into specific examples, but I can tell you that in churches that I have traveled all around this state and around this country, I can see places where they have held on to the past so long that there is so much dust on it that you need two of those little duster things to get the dust off the top of it. All right? I've been in churches where they've tried to hang on to things for so long that it is kind of left. You know, the easiest one is, and it's not here, thank God, but I've actually been into a church, and I would say probably the last 5 years, where they still had a rotary dial phone in the office. Okay? So think about that. And I know God, the call to God should be a local call, and it should just be, you know, dial G. What's the number for G? I think it's on there, but you know, they get that, you know, dial G-O-D. Well, there's not an O, you'd have to dial the number 0, but you could get there. But we hang on to things, but this scripture passage from the Old Testament tells us that we should not. We should take the blessings that we get, and we should use those blessings in the time that we have it and not hang on to it, because if we do, that then it spoils and it doesn't do what God wants us to do. Now, he does say that in preparation for the Sabbath, go out and take what you want, and God will double it. He doesn't say take twice. He says go out and take what you want, take a break, and I will double it. Because I do believe that when you work in the kingdom, and I have tried to do it as best as I can, and I encourage you to allow your next pastor to do this as well, you need to give them a break. If it's their day off, it's their day off. Because we need to recharge, right? We need to be able to recharge. But this passage in the Old Testament, you know, really gives us a good foundation for looking into the New Testament. I love how the Old shows us how to view the New. The New Testament shows us how to interpret the Old. That's what they're there for. If you want to know where how the New Testament and the Old Testament work together, and why do we have the Old Testament in our Bible, why do we use Old Testament passages in the lectionary, it's because the Old Testament provides us a lens with which to look at the New Testament, and the New Testament provides us the ability to interpret the Old Testament. They both work together. It's almost to say, how can you learn how to drive an automatic transmission if you haven't first driven a manual transmission? How do you know how to use a stereo that can talk to your phone if you've never used a stereo that can't, kind of thing? You have to be able to learn how to do one. You look through one to interpret the other, and the other goes back. So I would say that you never spend so much time in the New Testament that you forget about the Old Testament, because there's value there. Because you see, in this passage where the Israelites were going out into the fields in the morning and harvesting manna, and then going out in the evening and getting the doves, I guarantee you that there were people there that said, you know, I went out at the first light and I gathered my manna. How come Joe's going out at 11 o'clock and he's still able to get what he needs? How many of us have done that in our lives? You know, I mean, I see it all the time. I can tell you, even in my own life, you know, I wear a uniform and I have rank. And I know that the majority of captains that I serve with weren't even born when I put on my combat patch. But I realize that it's not for me to grumble about how come they get the same blessing that I do. It's for me to realize that God brings different people at different times to different circumstances and situations. And His intent is to bless everybody equally. He does not play favorites. I have a good friend that says, I know God loves everybody, but I'm His favorite. I don't think God plays favorites. I'm not in that camp. I believe that God treats everybody equally. God looks at every one of you the same way He looks at every one of you, which is exactly the same as He looks at every one of you. That whole adage, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. And your picture would not be covering up somebody else's picture. Think about that. Because, see, Jesus is sharing something with His disciples. He's saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Don't you love those passages? Don't you love where Jesus goes and says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then you just sit down and you wait. Because I tell you, every time I see this in the New Testament, I know that by the end of that passage, I'm going to be convicted. That as I'm reading this passage, I can almost see Jesus pointing His finger at me and going, see, I told you. But usually it's kind of like this, because there's a hug that comes in it. I believe that. That when you sit there and you hang on long enough to understand what Scripture's trying to tell you, that there is a blessing at the end of it. There's a hug from God to say, yes, you have got it. Now get out there and get to work. Because Jesus is sharing with the disciples a very important lesson for us to learn. Because He talks about this landowner that hires servants to go and work in his vineyard. And he hires a group early in the morning and they're out there laboring. And then he's walking through. You know, how many of you, and because I thought this, how many of you thought when that he started saying he was walking through the marketplace and he saw some people lounging around, how many of you thought that that was some of the workers that he had sent out in the morning? Because some of us do that, right? We get hired at 5 o'clock in the morning and by 9 o'clock we're hanging around the lunch counter waiting for 11. Because we're like, well, you know, at least I went out there. I showed up. They all saw that I was out there in the field. I'll just come here and I'll wait. I'll wait here. Maybe he won't know. Shh, don't tell anybody. But no, he keeps hiring more people. He keeps hiring more people. Now, it could be a way to say, well, the people that I hired in the morning were not doing a good job. I don't think it was that. I think he realized that the people that he hired in the morning needed to start to get into the fields to clear the pathways for the other workers to get out there and to come behind them. How many of you have ever harvested a crop? You know that when you go out there, you pick, what does the first group do? They pick all the low-hanging fruit, right? All the easy ones. And they want to say, man, I got to get from here to there. And as soon as I get there, I get lunch. And they go and they're like, yeah, I'll pick up. And they pick all the ones, depending on what you're harvesting. You know, they'll pick up the easiest stuff. They don't want to stoop down too low. And they don't want to reach up too high. They just want to grab what they want and fill up their basket and get to the end of the row and say their basket's filled. Can you see this? So the property owner knows he's got to send out another wave of workers out there in the field, because that first wave is only going to pick the easy stuff. Or pick pick only part of it. Then he sends another group out and says, okay, you need to get out there and get to work. So then they come by and they realize that the easy fruit has been taken, and so they need to do a little bit more work. They need to stoop down a little bit lower or reach up a little bit higher, and they need to keep going because they know when they fill their basket up and get to the end of that row that there's going to be something waiting for them there too. And then he does this again and again and again. The image that I have on this is that he is sending out waves of workers into his field, knowing that each wave is going to pick a certain amount of whatever they're out there to pick. But the first group is going to pick the first part off that bush. The second group is going to pick the second part off that bush. The third group is going to pick the third part off that bush. And the fourth group is going to have to scrounge for all of the gleanings because they know they want their basket to be just as full as the other groups that went out there. Can you see this visualization here? Because this is the image that I have about this scripture passage. Because then it comes at the end of the day and everybody comes in to get their wages. And the people that started early in the morning, and I love how the master does this. He pays the people that showed up last first. Think about that for a second. That is in the book, right? More than once, more than twice, three, maybe four, five times. Thou the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Think about this for a second. You know, if Jesus would have gotten to the end of this and say, well, the property owner gathered everybody around him and paid everybody at the same time. Oh, no, that wouldn't have worked. So he talks about how he pays those that came last first. And then the people start grumbling and they say, well, but we've been here all day. We've sweated in these fields. We've worked the hardest. How come they're getting the same as we are getting? And Jesus is like, well, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And then this cliche, and I love this cliche because we misuse it all the time. I'm going to change your view on this cliche of the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. We use this to justify why things fail. I think we should use this to inspire us on where we can go. I don't think we should look at this, well, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few, to justify why there's empty spots next to us in a church pew. I don't think you should use it to justify why we don't have enough to do what we want to do. I don't think we should use it to justify why our church is not doing what we want our church to do. It should inspire us. It should remind us that, yes, the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. And it's not about working our workers that we have. It's about getting out there and getting more workers. Think about that. Because what did the master do? He did not go after that first shift and beat them into working harder. He went after that first shift with a second shift and a third shift and a fourth shift. The master was out there recruiting more and more people to get out and get to work. And if he says this is what the kingdom of heaven is like, and we are here to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth, guess what we should be doing? Not standing in the pay line grumbling about the fact that somebody who arrived at the church 10 minutes late got a better parking spot than we did. We should be out there saying, man, we need to get more workers out here in the field because there is a harvest that needs to be harvested and there are workers that need to be hired. Think about that. You know, man, you know, this scripture kind of convicted me a little bit. Because it made me think about this, you know, Jesus is telling his disciples exactly what to do and what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he's saying, this is what it is. He's given us an image, and I want you to see this image. Don't look, take a look around. Look at some of you over here. Look at this big empty spot we have here in the pews. We got some back there. Actually, turn around and look up at the balcony. Look up at the balcony. Say hi to those folks up there. I'm going to educate you this morning. Some of you that have been around here long enough, those workers that came on the first shift, know that that balcony was built because there wasn't enough room on the main floor for everybody that was showing up. Think about that. If you go and look, I mean, my first time I saw it, I realized that that balcony was not part of this sanctuary when it was built. And then somebody told me exactly why it was built. And it was built, if I remember correctly, because the fire marshal was getting a little worried about being able to evacuate people out of the sanctuary in the event of a fire. So we needed to build a balcony to handle all of the workers that were showing up for Sunday service. Think about that. Think about that for a second. So I want you to look at that empty space. Because I want it to inspire you. I want you to see what I see. I want you to see it from what I think God wants us to see. And that is, yes, the harvest is plenty. Far more people these days do not go to church than go to church. I think it's the first time in our country's history where that has happened. I can tell you why they don't come to church. It's not because they don't believe. It's because they don't feel welcome. It's because they don't feel like they can sit next to us because they have tattoos and we don't. It's because they don't feel like that they can sit next to us because they work at a car wash and we're retired or we work at a bank. You know, they don't feel that they can be part of us because we don't act like we are part of them, but we should realize that we are all the same workers and we have all been hired by the same master, and at the end of the day, we are all going to get paid the same wage. I want you to think about this for a second. Eternal life is eternal life. When you divide infinity in half, what do you get? Infinity. When you multiply infinity times two, what do you get? You get infinity. If you multiply infinity times infinity, what do you get? You get infinity. So that's what we should see. It's not about saying, well, I've been sitting in this pew for 50 years, and by golly, I can't believe that that person was only here for a week, and they get to go to heaven. How many of you know people like that? It's rather to say, you know, I have been here for 50 years and praise God that that person gets the exact same thing that I get, even though they showed up yesterday. Hallelujah. Amen. And let's clap our hands and sing. Okay. That's what it should be about. So if I leave you with anything today, I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this image. I want to give you this nugget. I want you to hold it. If you remember nothing about what I've preached from this pulpit in 2.5 years, I want you to remember this. You have been hired. You were hired when you walked through the door this morning. When you sat down in that pew, you were hired. You have a job. Your job is to go out into the field and harvest. When you go out from this place today, go out into the field that is the world and harvest. Harvest those souls that are out there and bring them here and hire them too. Give them a job in the kingdom and give them the job to go out and to bring more souls. And don't grumble about the fact that you've been doing it longer than they have. Grumble about the fact and be happy about the fact. Talk amongst yourself about how awesome it is that we have to fill up a second service at this church because we can't fill up the first one. To sit there and say, we might have to find a bigger place to be because we can't get everybody here. We don't have enough parking for everybody because the harvest is so plentiful that we don't know what to do with everybody that we have. We don't know what to do with all that we have. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? Like I said, wouldn't it be amazing if we had communion and we ran out and people had to run back there and get more? I mean, that's what we should be about. We should be not about protecting and making sure that our butt print in our pew stays our butt print as long as we are in this pew. We should make sure that these pews have had so many butts in them that we have to replace the cushions every 2 years because we've worn them out. That we have to replace the carpet every 2 years because we have worn it out. That we have to look at building a bigger sanctuary because we just keep filling it up. That we have to take out the windows and put in extra balconies all over the place. Can you imagine that? A third story and a fourth story. We'll build it out. People in New Smyrna will be like, what's going on at 509 Magnolia Street? That should be our vision. Because the harvest is plenty. There is plenty of harvest out there. There is so much harvest out there that we cannot contain all of the harvest that's out there. But I guarantee you, if you go out there and try, God will give you the ability to contain it. And it will be awesome when you do. Just as remember when they put their net over the side of the boat and they got in so many fish that the boat almost capsized? It didn't. So I will tell you, don't be afraid about having too much because I guarantee you the boat will not capsize. I would be more worried about not having enough and not doing enough to make sure that we get to the point where we're worried about the boat capsizing, and God says, no, it won't. I'm still going to be there in the middle of it. So you've been hired, right? You know what to do. As you leave from this place, get out there. Continue to share the good news with everyone that you meet. Fill up the pews in this church over and over and over and over and over again. And go out as far as you need to go and do whatever you need to do, however it has to be done, to proclaim the good news to everyone that you meet, both this day and every day that God gives you breath. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and sing our hymn number 82. Praise the Lord, the heavens adore.